Reading to you from Luke, the 19th chapter, and with the 45th verse. And he entered the temple and began to cast out those who were selling, saying to them, It is written, And my house shall be a house of prayer, but you have made it a robber's den. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, gave my heart to Christ over 51 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. Then 1 year later, God called me to preach. And I've been trying desperately to share Christ ever since. You know, there's a terrible thing, but you know, there's a lot of people that won't do nothing for the Lord unless they get paid for it. Did you know that? Oh, I know preachers that way. Man, they wouldn't go out and preach for nothing if his life depended on it. Well, I'm glad that God gave me something better than that. He said, preach the gospel. He said, I'll take care of it. If you go out and do my work, I'll take care of you. And he's done that. Well, listen, I'll be with you for a half an hour tonight. Won't you kick off your slippers, sit back and relax. Pour you a glass of iced tea or maybe a lemonade. Boy, it's been 70 degrees here in Denver. We've enjoyed it. Kick off your slippers, sit back and relax. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, and let's begin reading with the 9th verse. Or do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers, shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the Spirit of our God. Excuse me, I've labeled this tonight, getting bad people cleaned up for heaven. Friends, listen. The Bible says that the gospel is for sinners. Now, Corinth was a great place to reach sinners. Well, the reason was it was a city where lust was king and immorality was common. Now, the gospel, according to my Bible, changes people. And the gospel meets us where we are in 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. For I delivered you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. Oh, friends, listen, that is one of the most important verses of Scripture. You know, death never conquered the Lord. And you know something? He didn't die. They didn't take his life. I mean, they didn't kill him. He let them. He laid down his life as a ransom for you and for me. I think if lost people really realized what Jesus truly did, he was perfect without sin, and yet he loved us so much that he was willing to take your sins and my sins upon him that we might have everlasting life. What a wonderful Savior. The gospel transforms us into what we ought to be. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things pass away. Behold, new things have come. And believe you me, that's exactly what happens to a sinner. when they come to Christ as a little child and say, Lord, I am a sinner. Lord, I am sorry for my sins, and I'm inviting you into my heart, into my life. Boy, howdy, your life, excuse me, your life will never be the same. The reason I know, because I was a terrible alcoholic for years. And when I met Jesus, he cleaned me up. He delivered me from alcohol that very day, the very hour that I said, Lord, I'm sorry. And he came into my heart. That's the truth. Listen, the past, present, and future of every Christian is the same. Listen, consider the way we were. The unrighteous shall not, did you hear me? Shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Paul offered an unsavory list of sinners. It was a list of immoral people. It was a list of dishonest and unruly people. Not one on Paul's list was fit for heaven. And he said, and such were some of you. The Bible tells us that heaven-bound Christians were once hell-bound sinners, and I sure was hell-bound, and I knew it. This proves we are all lost until God saves us. And what does it say in Romans 3:23? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I know people, I know some wonderful people, good people, honest people, who live their life, just they're wonderful people. But there's lost as a goose in the grass, that's right. Because you can't get into heaven by doing good works. Otherwise, if that were true, then God made a terrible, terrible mistake when he sent Jesus to the cross of Calvary. That's right. Now, what changes the destination of these lost ones? Well, God's grace rescues sinners and changes them. You know, the word grace, that's a tremendous word. It means God's unmerited love. We didn't deserve it. And yet, because of God's great love, he gave it to us. See, salvation is a gift, free. Friend, you can be so broke you can't pay attention. And yet, if you're willing to turn from your sins and come to Christ, he will change you in a twinkling of an eye. Friends, this is why, this is why I love to go to the rescue mission here in Denver. We usually have 150, 200, the place is usually packed to the ceiling. And these are people, many of them have mental problems, many of them are alcoholics, many of them are drug addicts, harlots, people who have just been, they've been forgotten. They're homeless. And some people think hopeless, but they are not. I repeat, they are not hopeless. If they will meet the conditions set down in the scriptures, they too can have eternal, everlasting life, and they can have a mansion at the end of eternity. In receiving Christ, we become fit for heaven. Otherwise, we're not. Consider the way we are. The Bible said we are washed. We are made clean by the blood of Christ in Revelation 1:5. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and releases us from our sins by his blood. You know, we sing a lot of songs. We used to. They don't anymore in church. What will wash away your sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. That's why, friends, our churches are so having so many problems. They've taken these wonderful, beautiful hymns out of our church and added some little, they call them praise ditties. Well, they don't know. I don't know. I don't know why they even sing them. I know they're not like the old rugged cross or What a Friend We Have in Jesus or Till the Storm Passes By. There's so many wonderful songs, and they're cheating our people. They're robbing them of the truth. The Bible says that we are washed by the water of the Word in Ephesians 5:26, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the Word of God. Friends, nothing in this world is any more precious than to know that you can be a black-hearted sinner, you can be a murderer, a rapist, I don't care what you call yourself, and you can come to Jesus and repent, and that royal blood will wash away every rotten, filthy thing you've ever done in your life. You know, there's nothing any worse than a man or woman cheating on her husband or wife. But you know, even God can forgive that. Homosexuality is a terrible sin. Oh, but not back here. Not these people. They have homosexual churches. And they say, oh, God made us this way, which is a lie out of hell. That's what the Bible says. Do not deceive neither fornicators, nor idolaters, or adulterers, or nor effeminate, nor homosexuals shall enter the kingdom of God. I don't know why they can't read that. It's in the Bible. Well, and then we are sanctified or set apart for divine service. Listen, friends, listen to me. God has a purpose for the life of each cleansed sinner. Did you know that? He sure does. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace. Oh, friends, that's a wonderful word. And you know, that's when I was an alcoholic, I had no peace. I was like the demoniac out there in that cemetery. I wanted to quit drinking so bad. I wanted to be my kids to love me and say, this is my dad. I used to just think my dad was the greatest, strongest man in the world. He was strong. He's an ex-wrestler, and he was strong. And he used to show, he'd bend nails with his arms. But I wanted to be like my dad. You know, but my dad left me. My dad died, and he left me. But did you know what? I've got a father now that will never, never, never leave me. And he said, lo, I'm with you even unto the end of the world. Even trials contribute to his purpose for our lives. And I read in Romans 8:28-29, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good, to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn amongst many brethren. Listen to me. All things work together. My transmission went out in my van the other day, and I was so upset. Cost me almost $2,000 to put another transmission in. Well, I couldn't understand that. Then the transmission went out in my, well, we don't know if it's quite of a transmission, went out in my wife's car. Now, the Bible said all things work together for the good. Now, I don't understand that, beloved, so don't try to get me to tell you what it means. But it does mean exactly what it says. All things do work together for those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Well, listen, we are justified, declared righteous according to the Bible, and this is possible because of Christ's finished work on the cross. And it tells us in Romans 3:26, No, not Romans 3:26. Now, where did I get messed up here? I put it down here, so you know what, friends? My memory, I hate to say this, but we all have that problem. And I'll write things down, and then I forget where I wrote them. Well, I wrote it down because I thought it was very important. But anyway, God is just and a justifier of those who believe. Well, listen. Consider the way we will be. I want to say this first, that we are justified by faith in Christ, and we have peace with God. We're justified, just as if we have never sinned after we come to know Jesus Christ as Savior. Well, those justified sinners will someday be like Jesus. While here, grace enables us to grow in the knowledge of Christ. Well, listen, friends, when Christ returns, we will be like Him. And 1 John 3:2, and everyone who has this hope fixed on Him purifies himself just as He is pure. Then the Bible tells us, while grace enables us to grow in the knowledge of Christ, then when Christ returns, we will be like Him. And then this upward way is all of grace. The Holy Spirit guides us in becoming more like Jesus. Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Even in trials and temptations, we're guarded by His love. And oh, listen, friends, write this down someplace. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man, and God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, that you may be able to endure it. Did you know that scripture is what the Lord gave me the morning He delivered me from tobacco cigarettes? That's right. Boy, howdy, I told the Lord I cannot quit. I've tried everything. I cannot quit. And then one night when He really got a hold of my heart, I threw those cigarettes in the fireplace, and I said, I'll never smoke again. But I knew the next morning was going to be the worst morning of my life, and sure enough, it was. When I woke up, I wanted that cigarette, and you who people who smoke, you know I'm telling you the truth. Smoking is terrible. Your body's a temple of the Holy Spirit. It's a sin. It's killing you. It hurts your heart. It hurts your lungs. It's the worst thing in the world. Is it enjoyable? Yes. I sure enjoyed smoking. But boy, I'm telling you, the morning I told the Lord, I can't do it. I cannot. I got to have a smoke. This scripture He gave to me. No temptation has overtaken you but such as common to man, and God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. And that's where I was. But with a temptation will provide the way of escape also, that you may be able to endure it. Well, you write that down. You start, if you've got things that you're doing and you know it's wrong, you start using that scripture and claim it. Claim it from God Himself. He wrote that to you. He wrote it to me. So you keep it and start working with it. Well, listen, let me ask you. Can you find yourself in Paul's list of lost ones? Wow. Idolaters, adulterers, no infant, nor homosexuals, nor drunkard, nor covetousness, nor revilers, nor swindlers shall inherit the kingdom of God. If you are one of them, won't you come to faith in Jesus Christ and be made clean? God specializes in getting bad people cleaned up for heaven. That's what He did for me. Oh, my friends, I'm so glad that God loves me. For God so loved me or you that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish but have eternal everlasting life. Listen, tonight you say, Cecil, you just don't know what I'm going through. Well, no, I don't. I sure don't. But I tell you one thing, God does. He knows what you're going through, and he's concerned about you. That's why you're tuned in tonight, because he wanted you to hear that he loves you. And he wants you to know that he can change your life completely. And if you're having trouble with sin, he'll tell you how to get rid of that temptation. If you're not a Christian tonight and you're not born again, would you bow your head? If you feel a tugging at your heart, would you bow your head with me? And please, beloved, don't pray this if you don't mean it. This is how the prayer goes. Dear Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. Lord, I'm sorry for all the things I've done to you and my family and my loved ones. Tonight, Lord, I'm opening my heart and receiving you as my personal Lord and Savior in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, I want you to get on the phone. Call 303-471-8534. Now, I will not use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. I will not sit down and write and ask you for any money. And I sure don't care where you go to church. I'm only concerned where you spend eternity. Won't you give me a ring? 303-471-8534. I'm standing by.
Going there today.
You know, friends, that right there is Winna Rushing. She was a prostitute. She was a drug addict. She gave up her family. She gave up her husband. And one day she found Jesus. Boy, what a change it did in that girl's life. She's written, hundreds of songs. I just thank God for her testimony. And for the privilege of being able to know her and to play her tapes. She's got so many tapes. But anyway, I'm just wanting to share that with you tonight. Well, friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. Thank you for listening. And I pray that we said something that will help you. Oh, listen, friends. No matter what state of your life is, how broke you are, how desperate you are, this wonderful Christ died for you, He loves you, and is standing with outstretched arms tonight saying, come unto me, all you labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you a rest or peace. I trusted Him 51 years ago, and I tell you, friends, I never regret that day. Someday I'm going to get to meet Him face to face. I want to meet my family, my mom, my dad, my two sisters, and my two brothers. What a reunion the Moes will have. But most of all, I want to see Jesus, who made it all possible. So until this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbor. Stay sweet. Keep looking up. This wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.